great society is not how much, but how good. Not only how to create wealth, but how to use it. Not only how fast we're going, but where we're headed. It proposes as the first test for a nation, the quality of its people.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
This kind of society will not flower spontaneously from swelling riches and surging power. It will not be the gift of government or the creation of presidents. It will require of every American for many generations both faith in the destination and the fortitude to make the journey. And like the freedom itself, it will always be challenge and not fulfillment. And tonight, we accept that challenge. I propose that we begin a program in education to ensure every American child the fullest development of his mind and skills.
Come on, Lyndon. He done. All right, he's done. That was LBJ back in 1965. President Lyndon Baines Johnson kicking off the Great Society. And ever since then, we have spent $22 trillion to try and get rid of poverty. And literally, what do we have to show for this? You know, that vision, as we heard, for that Great Society from LBJ. His Great Society didn't result in a Great Society. It was a failure. Unless you, I guess, count Democrat votes that they bought off. Let's go back and look at this society. The proportion of men 20 and older who are employed right now has dropped since the start of the Great Society. The big Democrat idea for the war on poverty. Back in 1967, it was at 80%. Men 20 and older who were employed. It's at 67.6% today, 57 years later. Every adult male 20 to 64 who's between jobs and looking for work, more than three are neither working nor seeking work. And this began with the Great Society. And you want to talk about what the Great Society did to the family structure. They did what the Black Lives Matter organization actually states now outwardly. You know, they brag about the fact that they want to destroy the Western nuclear family, right? Well, that's what the Great Society did. You know, Johnson went to come right out and say, when we implement this, we'll get out of wedlock births to increase from where we are right now at 7.7% in 1965. To more than 40%, more than 72% of black babies born out of wedlock. And that means that you don't have the family structure. And you know what? That makes cultural Marxists pretty happy. That's what they need to do. They need to destroy the family unit. That's all part of it. That is all part of it. Getting people dependent on the government and the destruction of the family. In 1753, I'm going to quote Benjamin Franklin. I know a lot of people today, if you say Benjamin Franklin,
is racist.
He said, repeal that welfare law and you'll soon see a change in their manners. Industry will increase, and with it, plenty among the lower people. Their circumstances will mend and more will be done for their happiness by inuring them to provide for themselves than can be done by dividing all your estates amongst them. Now we got Biden with nearly $2 trillion in aid and spending, even though it was clear it was no longer needed, no longer at all. Our founding fathers knew, and many people know today. It's not something that's the wisdom of the 1700s. We know today what James Madison knew. He said, quote, I cannot undertake to lay my finger on that article of the Constitution which granted a right to Congress of expending on objects of benevolence the money of their constituents. He's talking about income redistribution, and you want to talk about income redistribution. Now, I mean, this was almost a Senator Andreas Borges fall out of my chair moment. He said, "Now, will Fresno farm workers get universal basic income funding?" That was a headline in the Fresno Bee. Well, yep, Fresno area politician wants California to prioritize farm workers in a pilot program that would put cash in the hands of some of the state's impoverished. It sounds like LBJ days. Folks in Sanger, you got to get this Democrat to out of there. State Senator Melissa Hurtado issued a letter to Governor Newsom last week urging that California prioritized, as she stated, displaced, underemployed, or unemployed farm workers for universal basic income pilot program. Senator Hurtado, you are so compassionate. Look at you, giving away the tax money of your bosses to those that are even here illegally. They just won't stop. They won't stop. They're robbing Peter to pay for Pedro. By expanding this UBI program to farm workers, it's not only investment in farm workers, but in all of California, wrote Senator Hurtado. I hope Sanger smells the socialism here. I hope Sanger smells that socialism seeping into Sanger with Miss Melissa there. These programs, we know it. They disincentivize people from working and the high cost of this. Senator Hurtado took some flack from the cultural Marxists earlier when she blocked Senate Bill 65. That would have guaranteed basic monthly income of $1,000 to low-income Black Native American pregnant people. Now, of course, that excluded white pregnant people. We used to call that, Al,
is racist.
It used to be, didn't it? Senator Hurtado said she had reservations about a general universal basic income, thinks it should be a narrow program that exists under certain circumstances for certain exceptions, such as farm workers. Now, if you're here illegally in California, would you be allowed to qualify for the funding that Senator Hurtado wants to be? Universal basic income, it's just socialism. Both Hurtado and former Mayor Tubbs of Stockton are very hopeful that it will be to illegal aliens. Here's what Senator Hurtado said. She needs to go, Sanger. She said, in an ideal world, yes, it should be expanded to all the undocumented farm workers that are working. So now not only do they want to allow them to come here, take jobs, put their kids in our schools, overcrowd, $10,000 to $12,000 a year per kid to educate, $25 billion a year illegal immigration, cost the state of California, meaning you, cost you, if they came and knocked on your door and said, hey, once a month, it's our legal alien money time, and they knocked on your door and you had to either write a check or they go, no, you just do your debit card, or would you like it just to take it out of your account each month? I think you would really feel the hurt of that $25 billion a whole lot more. But here she is, Sanger Senator, State Senator Melissa Hurtado, saying, not only do we want to give them $25 billion a year for flouting our immigration laws, we want to provide them a universal basic income. Who would not hightail it out of Caracas? Who wouldn't hightail it out of Guatemala City? In a lickety split, man. These Democrats got to get the head in the game. She doesn't have her hair in the game. She doesn't care about your livelihood. This is a magnet for more illegals. It's an enticement. More free money. The city of Oakland, the second most dangerous city in California, they're doing their guaranteed income program. They're going to select families. They're going to give them $500, no strings attached for 18 months, except you can't be white. Got to be BIPOC. What is a BIPOC? Well, that means Black, Indigenous, and people of color. BIPOC. That's the only families in Oakland, I guess, that, you know, don't have as much money as other people. The poor white families of Oakland, you're going to be systemically racized right out, right? Yeah, systemic racism does exist. We got proof of it all over the place, don't we? This program describes a guaranteed income predicated on the understanding that people are the experts in their own lives. Oh, we are? I didn't know that.
Wear a mask, wash your hands, get tested.
Stay healthy.
People are the experts in their own lives. Okay, and they said the solution to poverty are being created by the communities experiencing it. The unconditional, no-strings-attached income is meant to enhance rather than replace the social safety net by providing families with the flexibility to decide how to best meet their needs. So you can take it to the strip club. You can take it to the liquor store. You can pay your power bill with it. You can give it to your aunt who's in the hospital. You can give it to your church. You can do whatever you want to do with the money. And they're saying that $500 is going to cure poverty. Oakland, they're at or below 50% of area median income is about $59,000 a year for a family of three. So if you're below the median income of $59,000, you think $500 a month is going to cure it in Oakland? Half of the spots are reserved for very low income, making below 138% of the poverty level. That would be about $30,000 a year for a family of three in Oakland. We've seen how it's worked out. $22 trillion spent, and we haven't cured it. It's only gotten worse, right? Do you think the streets of LBJ's 1965 were better or worse than the streets of today? They're way better back in 65.
I propose that we begin a massive attack on crippling and killing diseases. I propose that we launch a national effort to make the American city a better and a more stimulating place to live. I propose that we increase the beauty of America and end the poisoning of our rivers and the air that we breathe. I propose that we carry out a new program to develop regions of our country that are now suffering from distress and depression. I propose that we make new efforts to control and prevent crime and delinquency. I propose that we eliminate every remaining obstacle to the right and the opportunity to vote. I propose that we honor and support the achievements of thought and the creations of art. I propose that we make an all-out campaign against waste and inefficiency.
Well, we fixed that, didn't we? No, we're not wasteful.
Our basic task is threefold.
Tell me.
First, to keep our economy growing.
Okay.
To open for all Americans the opportunity that is now enjoyed by most Americans, and to improve the quality of life for all. In the next 6 weeks, I will submit special messages with detailed proposals for national action in each of these areas.
And we spent $22 trillion on it, and did we fix any of that? Absolutely not. It actually got worse. Speaking of getting worse, what's expiring on June 30th? Foreclosures and rent. All the moratoriums. 8 million households. We'll talk about the brink of eviction, and it's coming, and we'll do it next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Let me go and see what the temperature is at the moment. Unhealthy air quality in 102. Tomorrow we are looking for a high of 111. Flex alert on. I got a little California. It's caiso.com. If you would like to monitor our capacity for electricity, you can see how close we get to tapping out right now. Our current demand is 40,818 megawatts. Now, I don't know what a megawatt is, but we're demanding 40,818 of them right now. The forecasted peak for today is 42,108 megawatts. We have 52,656 megawatt available capacity. So you can track it. Again, it's CAISO.com. They have this trackability thing. You can see today's peak, tomorrow's forecasted peak. There it is. So we can track and see when all the lights will go out and your air conditioning will go out and you have to sit around and put your head in the refrigerator, you know, for what, 30 minutes, an hour before that thing all melts down. And you think about this, well, not that we've had the blackouts and brownouts, but if a blackout goes on for too long, you know, think of restaurants and all the food that they would have to get rid of. And, oh, it's just part of the problems that we have to deal with living in a great state. Maine, their governor announced a back-to-work program. They're going to start doing a one-time $1,500 payment to get people to go back to work. They said it will help encourage unemployed Maine people to return to the workforce. I think being hungry sometimes encourages sloths to get back to work. But this federal government, man, they're using our tax money to pay people to not be at work. They're competing with the mom-and-pop businesses, competing with them with their own money. It's really a sick, vicious cycle. Arizona, Colorado, Montana, New Hampshire, Oklahoma announced they have some type of back-to-work program. They're going to use federal money to get people to come back instead of paying them not to work. I tell you, both are a bad idea. How about stop paying them? Again, hunger gets one back up off the couch, a real good incentive. You know, Joe Biden, Neanderthal comment to Texas. Do you think Neanderthal man would allow some, you know, picture the Geico caveman guy? You think they're going to just allow him to lay around the cave all day doing nothing? And when the hunters come back from a day of fighting and killing animals so they can eat and have warm furs to survive the cold? You think the guy by the fire, the cave lounger boy, is going to get to partake in the kill when they return from the hunt? Absolutely not. Everyone contributes. And when they didn't, well, we all know the legends of caveman justice, don't we? I don't, but I'm sure they had it. I'm sure there was some caveman justice. You didn't work, you didn't eat. That's how you get people back to work. You quit giving them money to eat, because then they'll go back. We got in a few weeks here, coming up at the end of this month, more than 2 million homeowners, more than 6 million people that rent are behind on their mortgage, and their rent could be forced out. Most now, we know this, stated this for a long time with the Democrats' man-made lockdown, for sure, of this situation that we're living in, that most of this affects you, either low income or families of color, right? The ones the Democrats say, we got your backs, Jack. No, you don't. 2021 State of the Nation Housing Report. Congress, though, has written a check for $10 billion to help people get caught up on their payments, but Harvard researchers talking about 1 million more renters are on the brink of eviction. 8 million all totaled. CDC have been halting evictions, but this expires coming up on June 30th. And basement boy Biden has said, not going to be an extension going to be happening. Harvard said 17% of blacks, 16% of Hispanics, 16% of Asian homeowners were behind on their mortgage, more than twice as much as the 7% share of white homeowners. So I'm sure that'll all be twisted.
It's racist.
Right? Translation is, the Democratic Party's, their man-made lockdown, it hurt the people. Actually hurt the Democratic Party's claims to love and protect the ones that they hold most dear, right? That's old news. We already know that. But further proof right there. You know, we've seen the success of states that have actually opened up and their economies. We have Texas, we have Florida. And a good thing that Biden's not going to, he said he's not. He's not going to try and get another extension to the program when it expires in September. But you got business owners out there practically begging people to come to work. And you got Joe Biden saying that ending the unemployment program does not make sense right now. Well, Never mind that smarter people have been saying for months that this was actually going to happen. And now that it's happening, all these unemployment benefits and their reaction to the second consecutive month of a horrible jobs report. What did old Press Secretary Sakatuya Saki have to say on Friday of last week? Well, she said, our view is that they can and should. This is the reaction to a second consecutive month that they should keep sending out the extra 300 unemployment benefits. You got 7 million people still out of work. And how many job openings do we have? 9.3 million. So I don't sound cold-hearted to say stop slothing it. Get up, go back to work. 7 million out of work and 9.3 openings. But then again, if I had a job that I was like, man, I don't really want to go back to that job. I don't like that. My boss over there. And look, they're mailing me. I don't even have to go to the mailbox. They're direct depositing me money to just sit here and eat cereal out of a big mixing bowl and watch Price is Right on YouTube, and I'm good. That's human nature, right? It's a bad mistake by politicians that did not read the details, that did not read the pork spending, but yet will proclaim out loud that they support this spending. Well, you know what? We had people that had a lot more wisdom on the other side of the Republican aisle stating that this was not a good idea, and we knew it. More than half the states already have announced they're going to end these payouts. The Wall Street Journal quoted three economists. They came out with this little factoid. They estimate that in 21 states, households that qualify can receive a maximum wage equivalent of $25 an hour in cash without working. In 19 states, the maximum benefit is the equivalent of $100,000 a year in salary for a family of four with two unemployed parents. So I guess not working is a rational choice. Hey, put your spoon out for that gravy train, right? I'm surprised that they're not talking about keeping it rolling in September. And I guess what I should say is I'm not believing them that they're going to stop it in September. I mean, we already know right now. You even got convenience stores having to give out sign-on bonuses, having to give away free food to entice. We know what's going on, why their toxic behavior is called cultural Marxism. Well, I'm starting to see their pattern. These cultural Marxists, you know, Fauci, Biden, Black Lives Matter, the corporations, you got the media. They are all involved, and I'm going to lay their plan out, and you'll see it. Maybe you already see it, but you'll see it even more clearer next.
The new number to talk to Trevor, 559-230-4242. That's 559-230-4242. The Trevor Carey Show. You're listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Have you kind of figured out these cultural Marxists? Do you kind of see their patterns? I'm seeing them, what they do. You know, when I say, do they have no shame? How do they lie knowing that, you know, next week they'll get busted in the lie? Or how do they lie knowing the day before they got busted in the lie? Well, they keep the lie going until the lie runs its course and then it's no longer useful. And then if they're faced with the irrefutable evidence, instead of admitting that they got caught, they just flip-flop and they reverse their position, and then the media gives them the credibility, and then they deny they ever really, really said the lie. Right? That's pretty close, isn't it? That's kind of what we have going on right now today. And these cultural Marxists and critical race theory is all done up in the Marxist roots. And critical race theory is going to be taught. It's already kind of been implemented over the last few years, but now it's official. And it will be in your schools in September here in California. Critical race theory, the origins of this, has nothing to do with Martin Luther King or civil rights or making Black Lives Matter or making them matter. It's about power. what they're doing. It's just part of Obama's continuation of fundamentally transforming the United States. Critical race theory, man, that they're all rooted in Marxism, and it's the Soviet version of Marxism. Don't believe for a moment it's that socialist Sweden thing. Absolutely not. They want influence over everything, over our society, which they get that with all the social media, with our schools, with our politics. They're in the hallways of all of that. And this critical race theory, it's not a theory at all. It's racism. It's bigotry. And they're trying to revive a Marxist agenda that already failed. We've talked about this in the past, critical race theory and where it came from. And it's from the Frankfurt School in Germany in 1937. Frankfurt School wrote a manifesto about critical theory, not critical race theory, but critical theory. They claimed that when they examine society, people cannot reason objectively. They say critical theory divides everyone in society into classes. Now, this is back from 1937. You had the oppressed and the oppressors. The so-called oppressed, they're in the way of revolution because when they go along with all the belief systems and all the norms of their so-called oppressors, and today that would be going along with white people or acting white or whatever they want to say. But the cultural institutions that stand in the way of their Marxist revolution, whether it was 1937 or 2021, how did they destroy it? Well, through criticism. And I mean relentless criticism. So that's how you got the name critical theory. When the Frankfurt School, when these Marxists, they fled Germany in the 30s to escape the Nazis, they arrived in the United States at Columbia University. And what they did is they took that critical theory that you have the oppressed and the oppressors. That way you would, rile up the workers and get them to back your socialist movements. But when they got here to America, they didn't have that worker that wanted the revolution, right? They had trouble finding this new worker that they could re-educate to overthrow all the societal norms. So you know what they did? They went out and they found racial minorities. They didn't have a worker-led revolution like they had in the Soviet Union. That wasn't happening here. So they needed to go out and find another oppressed class to find their soldiers for their purpose. And what was their purpose? Well, to tear down Western institutions. What's Black Lives Matter purpose? To tear down Western institutions. Are you starting to follow the path? It's how you stage a Marxist revolution. You use the disgruntled workers. If you don't have disgruntled workers, then find disgruntled racial minorities. Hey, brilliant idea. Then you create the system of the oppressors and claim that the only way that you can change it is you got to just destroy all the institutions that the oppressors built up. Does that sound a little familiar? Summer of Rage, Burn Baby Burn, tear down the monuments, everything is racist, no equality under the law, we don't have civil rights, we don't have freedom, no liberty, no justice, want a better life. It's all a Marxist revolution. A recent report from the Heritage Foundation found that a majority of teachers that are familiar with critical race theory actually support it. Majority of parents are unfamiliar with it. The study from the Heritage Foundation said 43% of teachers are familiar with it. 55% believe it should be taught in schools. Some 65% of parents are unaware of this. But I question whether most of the teachers who support it actually understand it. But either way, it's dangerous. And parents are speaking up. I've been playing a lot of the audio from around the country of parents, black and white and brown, all colors, standing up saying, this is not good. This is hateful. It actually is. And I think it's going to hit in ways that maybe we never imagine. What they're doing is right in front of our eyes. They got a generation that's being groomed to hate America, to hate what it stands for. You got across this country, the whole social justice thing that, you know, America is a systemically racist nation. It's in our school district. It's in our trustees. It's in a lot of these Democrat teachers. And in the school year, there'll be a lot of promoting of the system of this white supremacy. It's all the way from the White House all the way down. We know what's going on. These teachers, and a lot of them represented by these unions, a lot of them don't care what the parents, their concerns. You got parents say they're upset, and the common response in these teachers unions is that parents, you know, they don't understand. They're just being, you know, they're being misled by these right-wing conspirators that are out there. It's wrong to have young Americans to be taught not to be proud of their country and to see it as an oppressor. And you can just say, you can say goodnight to a country. I mean, throw in the towel. And our schools are embracing this. And they're going to be little indoctrination centers for the woke, this culture war. Boy, it's in full bloom across this country. And these leftists, these cultural Marxists, this critical race theory, they're targeting our kids. And it's indoctrination. And Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization. Still a reason I'm not watching sports. I mean it. I'm not. We know what it's rooted in. And Black Lives Matter has major influence over education and corporations. My word, they gave them $90 million, corporations did. What'd they do with it? Well, we know that once all the united workers of the world, you know, unite and overthrow the bourgeoisie, what happens? Well, if you're one of the Marxist leaders, you got to find, you know, you got to have a place to kick back from all that revolution. And people might claim, I don't know, that you're using your privilege to maybe live like a queen. The co-founder of Black Lives Matter, Patrice Cullors, you know, she bought all those new homes, you know, her $1.4 million home. She bought upwards over $6 million in real estate, but she has a cool new fence to put around her house. Fences work around a largely white neighborhood compound. She has to secure her new slice, her new home, right? What better way to do it than put up a wall, build a fence? Oh, she was criticized. I think did she step aside? I think maybe the co-founder did, but she needed a $35,000 fence and gate to make sure none of the people following her decided to maybe, I don't know, show up and redistribute her income. Lo and behold, walls do work after all. She's going to have an electronic gate at the driveway, going to have a walk-up door, a call box, all these safety measures, cameras. You know, you got to keep the riffraff out, right? That's so Black Lives Matter of her right there. Let's see here. Daily Mail reports that Patrice Cullors paid for her new home in cash. So, in the United States of America, even a commie can live out the dream of a nice American home and a nice picket fence, right? All on display. I wonder how the corporations that gave all the money feel about that, right? I have the latest in California's two-tier society.
People aren't regulated.
We got us databases. Why do we need a database? Well, we got to have our personal health records. They have to be stored. And this database is being built as I speak.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
We got us a nice little two-tier system, do we not? Yes, we do. That's what's being set up here in California. To the north, I've been paying a lot of attention over these 456 days to Canadian pastors. Brand new respect for that nation over their pastors. Another Canadian pastor was arrested. Police helicopter found his church. They had a new secret location. Pastor Jim Stevens, Fairview Baptist Church in Alberta, arrested in front of his family a week after the government seized his church building, forced his congregation to worship underground. He was arrested briefly last month. Charges dropped when they realized we didn't give him a court order. We accused him of violating. So last Sunday, a police helicopter discovered his congregation meeting secretly at a new location. Authorities haven't said why a police helicopter was circling the area. What are these, like, North Korean dissidents? Yeah, going to church, a congregation will be surrounded by police cruisers. That's what happened. They arrested him at his house. He's a growing list. You're not going to obey the government. Pastor Pawlowski, friend of show. He's been on twice now, hadn't he?
Mm-hmm.
His second arrest, they got him out on the freeway. This is the last thing this pastor posted to Twitter was, I just got a tip. Police may be on their way to arrest me. Why? I continue to lead our church to worship Jesus as Lord over every earthly power. More to come. Pray, brothers and sisters. Stand firm. Keep the faith. You know, you just keep harassing the church and you won't understand how it keeps growing. The same LGBTQIA+, keep harassing Adventure Church. You'll just be surprised how it keeps growing. And that is the fact. We have right now a two-tier society, I predicted. It's upon us. California regulators approved the rules. Now, fully vaccinated employees will have the same freedom at work as you do when you're not at work. Boy, isn't that exciting times now in California. Cal OSHA votes to fully allow workplace no mask. But if you don't have the vaccination, you know, you got to be a little bit careful now. As we've seen, these mask guidelines for workplaces under the new rules, vaccinated employees are not required to mask while indoors, except where, you know, like hospitals and all that. Unvaccinated must still wear face mask in indoor settings. So we have our two-tier society, the free breathers and the masked up breathers. And no science on the mask at all. It is just, it is just offensive. It's just offensive to our intelligence. Newsom promised two words you should never believe. Just ask his best friend who he cheated on with his best friend's wife. Yeah, Newsom promised they're going to codify through the vote. Well, that's what we have. Face masks are not required for vaccinated and unvaccinated workers while outdoors. So, sir, our two-tier system, and of course, how dare you not take the vaccine? I mean, you're just really, you're probably one of those Republican, I'm going to assume maybe you're white, and for sure you're a Christian, and not just a Christian, but an evangelical Christian. We know your types of ones that, you know, won't take the vaccine.
Would you get it? Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay.
Ah, you stupid white Republican, probably male too, who say that you want some information on the vaccine. You don't want to just raise your hand and take an experimental one, right?
And the question of whether it's real when it's there, that requires enormous transparency. You got to make all of it available to other experts across the nation so they can look and see. So there's consensus, this is a safe vaccine.
If the president announced tomorrow we have a vaccine, would you take it? Only if it was completely transparent that other experts in the country could look at it. Only if we knew all of what went into it.
If Donald Trump can't give answers and the administration can't give answers to these three questions, the American people should not have confidence.
But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
They have no shame, do they? Zero shame. They should have shame. What's going on in that border? You want to make $200,000 a year part-time? Well, the Biden administration, it's available. I'll tell you where to sign up next.